Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio is now in open session pursuant to adjournment.
Welcome to all of you to today's historic ceremony. We are glad that you can be here. There are so many of you here that some are watching in another room, and we're glad that we have the technology for that. I would ask that you remain standing for the invocation and the advancing and presentation of colors. You're going to be standing even longer than that, but we'll give it to you in doses. It is my pleasure now to introduce the Most Reverend Frederick Campbell, Bishop of the Archdiocese of Columbus. Bishop Campbell.
Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, you revealed your glory to all nations. God of power and might, wisdom and justice, through you authority is rightly administered, laws are enacted, and judgment is given. Assist with your spirit of counsel and fortitude this court and its members, that their judgment may be administered in righteousness and be eminently useful to your people over whom they judge. May they encourage due respect for civic virtue and interpret the law with justice, clarity, and understanding. May their decisions promote the tranquility of order for the good of all people. Amen.
Thank you, Bishop Campbell. Now for the advancement of the colors. Please remain standing for the national anthem to be sung by Calvin Griffin, member of the Ohio State University class of 2011. Calvin.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, though the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets' red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
Thank you, Calvin. Great to know that we have more than a great football team and a great basketball team at Ohio State. At this time, it is my pleasure to introduce Jennifer Midler to lead us in the pledge. On behalf, Jennifer is representing the entire staff of the Supreme Court of Ohio. Jennifer.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Now you may all be seated. It is now my pleasure to introduce the Master of Ceremonies for today's program, Carmen V. Roberto. Carmen is a lawyer with the Akron Law Firm of Benlor, Niekamp, and Wiesenthal, and president of the Ohio State Bar Association. Carmen.
Good afternoon. Chief Justice O'Connor, honorable members of the Supreme Court of Ohio, the preeminent Supreme Court in the country, as I like to say every time I'm given the opportunity, distinguished guests, family and friends, welcome to this most joyous event. Let me start off by introducing very quickly some very special guests that are with us today. In the front row, to my immediate right, on the left from where you're seated, we have Secretary of State Jennifer Bruner, Attorney General-elect Mike DeWine, Secretary of State-elect John Houston, Judge Deborah Cook of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit, a former justice of this court, and we have former Governor Bob Taft with us as well. Maureen, let me start by saying that you honor the Bar Association and you honor me personally by asking me to be the Master of Ceremonies at this most historical event. I have pondered long and hard what it would be appropriate to say at an event of this magnitude. And it dawned upon me that while this is a most happy occasion and celebration, and those of us who are in the field of the law will appreciate its significance more so than those who aren't, I think it'll be some time before the true impact of what this actually means sets in. For there to be hope for every lawyer to know that they could sit and the highest elected office, the highest judicial post of the courts of Ohio will provide a wellspring of energy, enthusiasm, inspiration, and it will provide for future attorneys a belief in their hearts that I can do that which I want to do. The other thought that I had, Maureen, is that I can recall some decades ago, I won't say how many because Maureen looks so much younger than I do. We were sitting in my living room in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. I was running for Summit County Prosecutor. One of our friends who's here today, Dee Hanlon, was part of that group, and we lifted a glass of wine and plotted and strategized my losing campaign for that slot. And I like to say that by participating in that, Maureen learned how not to run an election. It may strike people as strange that the Bar Association and its 25,000 members have such a close relationship with the Supreme Court. In actuality, it is not surprising, but what I can share with you is that as I have traveled throughout the country and throughout the state for the last 6 months on behalf of the state bar, I have been amazed at the fact that other states do not have the close relationship between the court and the bar that we do, and that other states' law schools and the bar associations do not have the relationship we do. And the law schools and the court, the Supreme Court of their state, do not have the relationship we do. What it means, as many of us in the room know who have been in public life in one form or another, that if you have access to the corridors of power, if you can open the door and sit down and talk, that problems do not get magnified. Things that are intemperate do not get said. And people over a meal or over a glass of wine can have a discussion and perhaps come to a solution, or if nothing else, at least agree to disagree. We have had a wonderful relationship with the Supreme Court. I've already had lunch with Maureen, and it was somewhere other than Dee Hanlon's house for one of the few times. And we've talked about some mutual interest that the bar has. And I want to say, and I don't want to overstress how important it is that that relationship continue. I know that it will for the remainder of my term. I know it will next year when Carol Marks takes over. And I know it will for as long as the chief is on the court. There will be times when we disagree. She's never going to convince me that having corned beef and cabbage and some Irish liquor on St. Patrick's Day is more important than having veal parmesan and Chianti on Columbus Day. That issue we're just never going to get settled. But the other ones, I'm sure that we will. The significance of this event, the significance of this weekend for the courts and for the law fills my heart with joy. We are glad that everybody is here. We want you to enjoy the day to its fullest extent. I bring Maureen from Akron, from its bar association, from its legal community. Their accolades, their cheers. They are just thrilled to death back home. Akron, I should say, for my friends from Ohio State, not only is the home of the national NCAA Division I soccer champions, but also the home of Maureen, myself, the head of the Ohio Medical Association this year, the head of the Common Pleas Court Judges Association, the head of the Prosecutors Association, and there's one other group that I'm leaving off, and the only time any of us see each other is when we're down here in Columbus at a meeting, which is kind of funny. But the last thing that I want to say is that I did spend time looking for a gavel to give to the chief. And I wanted to give her a gavel that was larger than the one that John Boehner received. And the only place I was able to find one was at Toys R Us. But as I was walking into the court today, I noticed that there was a huge sculptured gavel on the lawn of the court. That will, from this day forth, at the Ohio State Bar Association, be known as the Chief Justice O'Connor gavel. I'd like to take the opportunity at this time to introduce Judge Klatt. He is going to provide some remarks on behalf of the judiciary. The Honorable William A. Klatt is a judge on the 10th District Court of Appeals, which is located in Columbus, and he will deliver remarks on behalf of the judiciary. Judge Klatt.
Thank you, Carmen. Justices of the Supreme Court of Ohio, elected officials, fellow members of the judiciary and bar, and distinguished guests. It is truly my great privilege to offer a few remarks on behalf of the Ohio judiciary as we witness and celebrate the swearing in of our new Chief Justice, Maureen O'Connor. Today is particularly historic because, as you know, Justice O'Connor will be the first woman Chief Justice in Ohio history. A remarkable achievement by a remarkable person with a remarkable record of public service to the citizens of this great state. Lawyers and judges look to the Chief Justice to set the tone for our profession, to advance the interests of justice, and to support and protect the role of the courts in our constitutional democracy. Justice O'Connor has demonstrated that she is more than capable of fulfilling those tasks. with experience as a probate court magistrate, common police court judge, prosecutor, lieutenant governor, director of public safety, and Supreme Court justice since 2002, Justice O'Connor is well prepared to lead us as chief. She has demonstrated great and diverse talents and an unyielding commitment to public service and to the pursuit of justice. I first got to know Justice O'Connor when she was Lieutenant Governor and Director of Public Safety. I was working in the governor's office just down the hall from her office, and through our work together, I witnessed firsthand many of the personal and professional characteristics that have made her a fine justice and will make her a great Chief Justice. Those characteristics include her honesty, integrity, common sense, intellect, and toughness blended with common decency and a strong sense of humanity. Justice O'Connor has a quick wit and a wonderful Irish sense of humor that she shares freely. I particularly admire her because she is a person who marches to the beat of her own drum. And by that I mean she knows who she is and what she believes. She is comfortable in her own skin. That strong sense of self, coupled with an accurate moral compass, is the trademark of a great leader. A Chief Justice not only leads, but also inspires. Justice O'Connor's career path is nothing short of inspirational. She has shown that women as well as men can reach the highest level of our profession. But it is her personal integrity, professionalism, and commitment to the rule of law that is the most inspirational. By her example, Justice O'Connor reminds us of the majesty of the law, as well as our solemn duty as judges to administer justice fairly and impartially. Justice O'Connor also understands state government and the vital role our courts play in our system of government. With some frequency, judges are required to make very difficult decisions. That obviously is our job. Some of those decisions may be unpopular. Nevertheless, an independent judiciary applying the rule of law fairly and impartially ensures the survival of our constitutional liberties. A former Chief Justice of this court once stated, "In trying times, people turn to the legal profession. They turn to those who are trained in the virtues that restore balance and equilibrium. The public seeks us out because we embody the search for truth, for justice, and for equality and fairness." That same Chief Justice challenged the judiciary to rededicate ourselves to the expectation that justice is achieved by the virtuous act of judges bound by the principles of impartiality and fairness. Those words were spoken by our late Chief Justice, Tom Moyer. Justice O'Connor, I know you will carry on that inspirational legacy. In turn, with your support and encouragement, we as judges recommit ourselves to those high ideals, and we look forward to your leadership as our new Chief Justice. Congratulations.
Biggest challenge today is going to remember to keep lowering the microphone. Yeah, I noticed that Attorney General Rick Cordray is in the crowd as well, and I did not want to neglect him in the introductions. I see him sitting back there. It's now my pleasure to introduce Ms. Val Hoover, who will give some remarks on behalf of the bar. She is a lawyer with the Columbus firm of Corman, Jackson, and Krantz, also formerly an Akron attorney, who serves as president of the Ohio Women's Bar Association. She began her legal career as a law clerk here at the Supreme Court of Ohio for former Justice Cook. Val?
Thank you, Carmen. It is customary for anyone speaking at these great occasions to begin her remarks with the phrase, "It is my great honor," or the phrase, "It is my rare privilege," or perhaps, "I have the distinct pleasure." Well, believe me, it is all those things and more. Honor, privilege, pleasure. But today, Chief Justice O'Connor, members of the court, honored guest, most of all, my presence here today is a time of joy. Joy to be saying a few words in honor of my bar colleague, a role model, and my friend, Maureen O'Connor, as she makes history and becomes the 10th Chief Justice of the Ohio Supreme Court. I say my friend, as Chief Justice O'Connor has on occasion jokingly lamented that when she became a judge, she lost her first name and friends no longer called her Maureen, but Judge. Today, I will take a small liberty and occasionally refer to Chief Justice O'Connor as Maureen. To be sure, I also said makes history. And indeed, this is a day to mark in history for Maureen, for members of my organization, the Ohio Women's Bar Association, for members of our profession, for this court, and for the great state of Ohio. This isn't the first time that Maureen has made history in her career, nor is there any reason to think that this will be the last. Certainly, the state and nation have seen women attorneys make history in reaching the pinnacle. Among them, Nettie Cronin Lutz, Ohio's first woman attorney, Justice Florence Allen, first woman on the Ohio Supreme Court, Ohio Attorney General Betty Montgomery, U.S. Attorney General Janet Reno, Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, Justice Sonia Sotomayor, and most recently, Justice Yvette McGee Brown. But I am certain history was never the first thing on the mind of any of those women. It wasn't on Maureen's mind when she crossed important thresholds early in her career, or on her mind for the one she's crossing today. The remarkable story of her truly remarkable career isn't one about history or about being among the first, or even about being the very first. It has always been about being the best, about being a leader, about being the one who takes on an assignment with determination and strength of character and professional experience to do that job better than anyone else. And then exceeding even those lofty expectations. Being the first, or among the first, has always been the least of it. Performing at the level of the very best in her calling is the one and only expectation she set for herself at every turn. And Maureen has met that goal, surpassed that goal on each occasion. She may have been breaking through ceilings with regularity, but she's done that with both feet planted firmly on the ground. Sure, steady, and solid in her professionalism, integrity, diligence, and commitment. I've had the great honor, and yes, I'll use the phrase rare privilege because it fits, of seeing these qualities in Maureen firsthand as her career has flourished and her extraordinary leadership emerged. I saw those qualities in the days when I observed magistrate and then judge Maureen O'Connor on the trial bench in Summit County, and as administrative judge during a time when I was working there with the Ninth District Court of Appeals. From my time as a staff attorney at the Ohio Supreme Court, I followed her career as she was elected Summit County Prosecutor O'Connor, and built a record of service and tenacity that led to statewide leadership roles in Lieutenant Governor of Ohio and Director of Public Safety, a position that perhaps was the most demanding cabinet role in the months after 9/11. So it was no surprise to me, or to anyone who witnessed her performance in those roles, to see Maureen elected by sizable margins to two terms as Justice of the Ohio Supreme Court. And now, with another strong electoral showing as overwhelming choice for Ohio's highest judicial office. This latest step may sound a bit grand to some, but being grand, like doing something just to be the first, is not Maureen's style. In fact, she has shown a steadfast determination as Supreme Court Justice, and now Chief Justice, not to wall herself up in some judicial ivory tower. She doesn't let herself be removed from the lives of everyday Ohioans or from appropriate involvement with those who share her passion for the law. The Ohio Women's Bar Association benefits greatly from her keen interest and involvement. For example, she's agreed to join 11 colleagues from across the state to serve as advisors to our new Ohio Women's Bar Foundation Leadership Institute. Next week, just days after her advancement to Chief Justice, she will be with us for the advisory committee's first meeting and help us develop programs for emerging leaders among women attorneys in the early stages of their careers. Our association and professional organizations that rate judges and justices base their evaluations on several key criteria, including integrity, judicial temperament, diligence, professional competence, and community involvement and understanding. That's not merely an assembly of some grandiose words to be checked off as we work our way down a form. They are very meaningful, quantifiable, and essential qualities that members of the bar look for in a judge, especially for someone who will lead our highest court. Those are exactly the qualities Maureen has demonstrated from her earliest days on the trial bench. But Maureen also possesses one crucial criterion that isn't part of anyone's official list for judicial ratings. Yet it may be the most important quality of all, the most telling as a predictor of judicial temperament, fairness, and leadership. And that is Maureen's unfailing talent for and commitment to listening. That's a rare judicial talent, alas, much more rare than it should be today. But I saw Maureen use it earlier in her judicial career in Summit County, and we can all see that today, here in this courtroom, or on the televised proceedings. Watch those reruns. The art of listening is visible. And with Maureen, the intensity of her focus comes across in almost every shot. It's a clear demonstration of Maureen's ability, insistence really, of letting the practitioners make their case. Yes, from the bench, as always, she'll be challenging with well-prepared, probative questions, but she will also be listening visibly and intently and hearing the case, not truncating it. I said earlier that Maureen had taken every step of her career with feet planted firmly on the ground, professionally and personally. In taking office today as Chief Justice of this court, she is also aware of the ways her feet now follow in the steps of Chief Justice Tom Moyer. What footsteps to follow? Our late beloved Chief Justice was also a judge who listened. And with that gift and all his other matchless qualities, he was exactly the kind of judge, justice, Chief Justice, that members of the bar most admire. whether you agreed with his decisions or not. I believe that history, there's that word again, history, I believe that history will say that same about Chief Justice Maureen O'Connor. And that's why, for myself and for my colleagues at the bar, it is truly my great honor, my rare privilege, my distinct pleasure, and my joy to salute Justice Maureen O'Connor on this very special day.
Thank you so much, Val. I just noticed also in the crowd former Attorney General Betty Montgomery. If there's any other state official, former state official present that I have neglected to point out, slip Rick Dove a note and he'll get it up here to the podium. He's the one that keeps all of this stuff marching properly. Today's keynote remarks will be provided by the Honorable Ben Espy. Mr. Espy has had a very distinguished career in the practice of law. He's currently a partner with the firm of Gonzalez, Sajian, and Harlan in Columbus. He has also had a long history of public service, having served for 10 years as a member of the Columbus City Council and 10 years as state senator, the last four of which were as leader of the Senate Democratic Caucus. Ben?
Chief Justice Maureen O'Connor, to the Associate Justices of the Ohio Supreme Court, to the elected officials, to special guests, ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. I want to first welcome you to the Judicial Center here today and the Supreme Court of Ohio. Justice O'Connor was just telling me a few minutes ago that when she spoke with the late Chief Justice Rehnquist, he said, this is probably the best Supreme Court building in the country. And I want you to savor this experience because most attorneys in this state probably have never been here. And very few attorneys practice before this court. But once you come here, you'll be in awe, not just with the court, but with the justices who sit here on the bench. I'm very pleased to have been asked to offer some thoughts on the installation of Chief Justice O'Connor. But like any good lawyer who stands this close to the bench, I know that I only have 15 minutes to do this or a little red light comes on and I'm supposed to sit down. I also know that I have big shoes to fill today. 2 years ago, the new Chief Justice's friend and a favorite colleague, Justice Pfeiffer, offered some words as she was sworn in after winning her second term on the court. As all of us know, Justice Pfeiffer is hard to follow. A man of great wit, he also has an uncanny way of getting all kinds of information. For example, he announced to the world that day that when Justice O'Connor had just returned from traveling through the country of Tunisia, he had been told by people there that she would be worth 1,000 camels in their country. I dare say that with her rise to Chief Justice, she must be worth even more. In fact, she is quite possibly the only person in America whose value and wealth has increased in the last 2 years. So if you happen to see a herd of dromedaries walking through the reception after this event, start counting and let me know what she's worth in camels. In thinking what to say today, I too did some counting. I counted some justices that I think are appropriate to recall. For 200 years, Ohio has had a Chief Justice, starting with Chief Justice Meigs. It only took 120 years for Ohio to see its first female justice, Florence Allen, who was mentioned earlier by a speaker, elected to the court only 2 years after women gained the right to vote. Justice Allen not only was Ohio's first female Supreme Court justice, but the first woman to serve in that role anywhere in the country. She started humbly, apparently making only $25 her first month of practice. But she was not daunted. As she said to a reporter in a 1934 interview, "I had no clients and I had no money, but I had great hopes." Those hopes were realized when she was elected as a common pleas judge, another first, and presided over 900 trials, including a case called State versus Motto. Mr. Motto was a reputed gangster. He was convicted of the murder of two men during a robbery. At the time, legal critics wondered whether the stereotype about women being emotional and thus lenient would come into play, but it did not. Justice Allen sentenced Motto to the electric chair, and her reputation as a law and order judge continued throughout her career. But she was not one-dimensional. To be sure, she was willing to make the difficult decisions, even on death penalty cases. But Justice Allen was also known for her fairness and her willingness to serve as a mentor. She encouraged young women to become lawyers, and she encouraged others as well. After her ascension to the Supreme Court bench, she immediately told reporters that she intended to keep partisan politics out of the judiciary. It was a promise she would keep during her time on the court, which included a second six-year term on the Ohio Supreme Court. In many ways, Justice Allen's career is similar to Chief Justice O'Connor's. Chief Justice O'Connor's desire and dedication to the law is apparent in the fact that she entered law school during a time when few women did so. And at the time she was attending law school, she was also starting a family. In fact, she took classes while quite pregnant with one of her sons. She has sometimes wondered if those lectures permeated her body because that son became a lawyer in later years. When she graduated from law school in 1973, less than 10% of the lawyers were women. And like Justice Allen, Chief Justice O'Connor began her career with a small practice, one that I hope earned her more than $25 the first month. But regardless of what she made, she, like Justice Allen, had something invaluable called great hopes. Her early cases also earned her a reputation, which led to her appointment as a magistrate in the probate court, where she served for many years before leaving for the Common Pleas Court bench. And despite her great ability and success in that court, where she was recognized for her diligence and fairness, the Chief Justice felt compelled to leave the bench for another calling, prosecuting attorney. Those years solidified her reputation as a law and order judge. But like Justice Allen, again, that label does not accurately capture the many dimensions of Chief Justice O'Connor. The Chief Justice is also a steadfast proponent of mentoring and education, legal and otherwise. And like Justice Allen, she encourages girls and young women to become educated, work hard, and succeed in any field that they choose, including law. But her efforts are open to all, including boys and men, for whom she has also served as a role model. She continues to devote countless hours to educating the public, law students, lawyers, and judges. She has worked very hard to give opportunity not only to her clerks, but to all law students, and to increase the opportunities for traditionally disadvantaged students. In fact, she has opened her summer externship program, to a number of students of color. I've had the pleasure to speak to these fine young minds, and was not surprised to learn that many of them have gone on to succeed, garnering federal court judgeships, clerkships, associate positions in large firms, and placements in government offices. And I know that she is genuinely embracing her newest colleague and robe sister, Justice Yvette McGee Brown, who will make history tomorrow. I lovingly refer to Judge Yvette McGee Brown as my little daughter. The Chief Justice could not be more happier than to have her on the court and to see the history that her newest colleague will be making. Chief Justice O'Connor knows that the span of time between the history making of Justice Allen and Justice McGee Brown was punctuated with another historic first, the first African-American justice, Robert Duncan. His time with us in the Supreme Court was short because, like Justice Allen, the federal court lured him away. And I'm proud to say that Judge Duncan signed my certificate when I was admitted to the Supreme Court bar in 1969. And later, when he was on the Court of Appeals, where he became Chief Justice, he also signed that certificate for me 2 years later. He then served on the United States District Court right down the street. He garnered praise and earned his own reputation for fairness before leaving the bench and an equally distinguished way, but far more lucrative career in private practice. And now, 40 years later, we have another first, the first female Chief Justice of the Ohio Supreme Court, Maureen O'Connor. Let's hope the feds don't try to lure her away to the federal courts. Although I have talked about some of her predecessors who are also historic figures, I must note that during her campaign, Chief Justice O'Connor did not rely on the fact that she would make history as the first woman Chief Justice. In fact, she intended to downplay it, telling her colleagues, the bar, and the voters that her goal was not to be known as the first female Chief Justice, but to be known simply as one of the best Chief Justices in Ohio's history. In doing so, I am sure that she had in mind Chief Justice Tom Moyer, one of her closest friends, colleague, and a great mentor, and also the person who attended the same high school that I did in Sandusky, even though it's more years ahead of me. I know how deeply saddened she was by his death, and that she wishes she could look out today and see him sitting here with us, smiling as he watched these events unfold. Although we may not be able to see him, I know he is here, and that he is indeed smiling. Chief Justice O'Connor's reluctance to focus on her gender during the election is consistent with another great justice, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who once said, "Women hold up half the sky, and they would do so in our courts. They need no favors. They need only equal respect for their talent." Chief Justice O'Connor has earned our respect. I am sometimes distressed when I hear hear about people thinking that her success is attributable to her name, or voter confusion with Sandra Day O'Connor, or the fact that she was Lieutenant Governor. Not so. She has won elections quite handily because she is a smart, fair, hard-working judge. She embodies the virtues that we want of people in our judiciary. From her new office, Chief Justice O'Connor can look out on the people of Columbus and see neighborhoods of the rich and the poor. I wonder if she would be reminded of her great decision in cases like the Norwood eminent domain case, which is not just part of her growing legacy, but which protected the homes of the vast majority of us who don't live in mansions or gated communities. If she looks out the window, she can see COSI, a museum dedicated to the marvels of science. She will approve because the Chief Justice has become quite comfortable, I hear, with technology. As her staff often finds when they learn she's already read the pleadings on her cell phone. Another window she can see the Department of Education, dedicated to the search for educating our children and for the gathering of knowledge, a search that she supports and admires. She's a woman with a thirst for learning, not only in books and briefs, but from travels across this great state, our nation, and the world. She learns as she goes, and I'm sure she teaches as well. Another window she can look out and see the reflecting pool to the north of this court, where words carved in granite rise from the water. The words were placed there not only for art, but to reflect on the virtues of the law. Those words serve as a reminder, not only to our great new leader about the law, but to all of us in the law, and as a reminder of why she is our leader. She's a person of great integrity. She's a person of great honor and a person of great truth. As most of you know or soon will learn, she's a straight shooter. You may not always like what you hear, but you know that she is going to tell you as it is, or as it will be when she finishes. She would not tell you that what is not true, nor give her word only to take it back. She's a person with drive, a person with determination, and a person with discipline. Part of that comes from being one of the eldest in a large Irish Catholic family. I know that many of them are here today, including her sons, of whom she is very proud. And I know that her parents and grandparents, and particularly her mother and grandmother, are watching from above, probably seated with Tom Moyer in the front row of heaven. Her family instilled not only her deep faith and desire to achieve, but to have respect and dignity for self and for others, and it taught her compassion. She's a person whose heart is big and giving. Her compassion is not limited to her family and friends, but extends to her staff and to many in this court's family of employees. She cares not only about her own colleagues, but those who make sure that this beautiful building shines brightly, literally and figuratively, for all Ohioans. She cares about all of those who allow her to do her job, the clerks and the couriers, the caterers, the commissioners, the editors, the educators. All are equal in the eyes of the law and in the eyes of the chief. I think it's very important she's a person who favors and fosters equity. I've had the pleasure of working with Chief Justice O'Connor through the Ohio State Bar Association's Committee on Racial Fairness. That committee is an outgrowth of the Ohio Commission on Racial Fairness, which was formed by former Chief Justice Moyer and the Ohio State Bar Association in 1993 to identify racial bias in the state, where it exists in our court systems, and propose methods for eliminating it from the legal profession and the justice system. The commission was charged with gathering information about the perception and reality of disparate treatment towards people of color and recommending methods of addressing and eliminating those perceptions and reality in our justice system. It concluded that there was an enormous chasm between the perception of our state's majority and minority communities. Whites believe our court system is fundamentally fair, but most people of color found significant barriers in assessing justice. Despite some of the bleak, distressing, and disturbing findings the commission reached, it quite aptly stated, success in the area of racial fairness was not a destination, but a journey. That journey has been long, and it continues. Almost a decade after the commission released its report, the Racial Fairness Implementation Task Force, chaired by Judge Marbley, this task force recognized that racial issues and race-based perceptions are factors that significantly influence the legal system's ability to guarantee equal justice. As we prepare the 25th anniversary of the Dr. Martin Luther King Day, many among Ohio citizens have yet to realize this dream. But I stand here today knowing that Chief Justice O'Connor is a justice for all people, and that she will work tirelessly along with her on her journey to ensure that all people feel that they can obtain justice in any court in the state, anywhere in Ohio. She, like Chief Justice Moyer, is an advocate of the sundry and manifold changes that must be made. I have no doubt that the significant work that Chief Justice Moyer began will be finished by Chief Justice O'Connor, despite whatever resistance she faces. Her work on diversity is not simply a goal she holds out to others, but one that she follows herself. Her own office has been the most diverse in the court for many years. She has hired as many female attorneys as she has male attorneys. She cares not whether they are Democrats or Republicans, rich or poor, white or black, gay or straight, Christian or Muslim. She cares only that they are good, honest, hardworking, and smart. And preferably, that they like dogs, because she knows they know she has a cat. That same sense of fairness and equity extends to her work on cases. She's a person with wisdom and reason, as her opinions demonstrate. In authoring the opinions, she's driven not by politics or personality, but by what she determines is the correct thing to do. Each case is determined on its own merits or lack thereof. And as counsels who appear before her know well, she's always prepared to determine which it is. Her work on cases reflect the judge's creed. She recognized her role as a guardian of our jurisprudence, dedicated to equal justice under the law for all, and understands that her role requires scholarship, diligence, personal integrity, and a dedication to the attainment of justice. I am confident that she will aspire every day to make the court a model of justice and truth. In so doing, she will honor her predecessors from Justice Meigs to Justice Allen to Justice Duncan. And of course, with her work on the court, I am sure she will honor Justice Chief Justice Moyer. But most of all, she will honor us as well. Did the red light go off yet? Thank you, and God bless you, and God bless the new Chief Justice, Maureen O'Connor. Thank you.
Thank you ever so much, Ben. Not so sure about all those dromedaries, but I could probably rustle up a couple hundred bottles of Chianti and some mozzarella. It's now my privilege to note that earlier this week, Justice Paul Pfeiffer began his fourth term on the Supreme Court of Ohio. He has been the senior justice on the court since 2007. Prior to joining the court in 1993, Justice Pfeiffer practiced law in Bucyrus, Ohio for 20 years, and it always warms the hearts of us trial attorneys to know that one of our judges has trial experience and was a practicing lawyer, as Maureen was. He served 2 years in the Ohio House of Representatives, and he served 4 terms in the Ohio Senate. Justice Pfeiffer will administer the oath of office to Chief Justice Maureen O'Connor, and I would invite the chief's sons, Alex and Ed, to come up and join their mom on the dais while she takes the oath of office. Alex and Ed, if you would join us, please.
Place your hand on the Bible, raise your right hand, and repeat after me.
I, Maureen O'Connor.
I, Maureen O'Connor.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of Ohio.
And the Constitution of Ohio.
And that I will administer justice.
And I will administer justice.
Without respect to persons.
Without respect to persons.
And that I will faithfully and impartially.
And that I will faithfully and impartially.
Discharge and perform.
Discharge and perform.
All the duties incumbent upon me.
All the duties incumbent upon me.
As Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of Ohio.
As Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of Ohio.
According to the best of my ability and understanding.
According to the best of my ability and understanding.
This I do.
This I do.
As I shall answer unto God.
As I shall answer unto God.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Please, thank you very much. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Bishop Campbell, colleagues, family, and friends. Thank you very much for coming this afternoon. I want to thank Justice Pfeiffer for the introduction and the administration of the oath. I also would like to thank Judge Bill Klatt, Val Hoover, and Ben Espy for the remarks. And Carm, thank you for making the trip to preside as MC for this event. I'd like to take the opportunity right now to acknowledge some really important people to me that are here today. First and foremost, I would not be standing in front of you and been successful without a good staff. And my personal staff at the court is no exception. I'd like them to stand, and I'm going to introduce them, much to their dismay. Pierce Reed, Senior Judicial Attorney. Amy Irvin, Judicial Attorney. Lindsay Ellis, Judicial Attorney. Jennifer Cordell, Judicial Attorney. And Jill Wynn, my executive assistant, who's been with me since my days in the Lieutenant Governor's office. Thank you, staff. You do a great job. I also have my campaign staff here. Amy Sabbath, my manager for three campaigns. Amy, if you'll stand. Haley Andrews, Suzanne Whistler, Jason Mulhan, Andrew Anderson, and Sarah Sophia Knapp. If you'd all stand and take a bow. You've seen my sons, Alex and Ed Kipp, who were up here, and I have my daughter-in-law, Sarah Kipp, and Ed's fiancée, Cheryl Dieter, is also in the front row there. Very important people to me. I also have in attendance about 50 family members and friends who, quote, knew me when, long before I entered public service, in some cases from my college days. You'll recognize these people by the duct tape that is stretched across their mouth. I would also be remiss if I did not recognize former Chief Justice Eric Brown and thank him for his service to the court. I want to offer a special heartfelt gratitude to Sergeant Randy Daly, and the Cleveland Pipe and Drums for participating in this afternoon's presentation of the colors. The other members of the Cleveland Pipe and Drums could not be here today because they are performing a much more important duty, a much more somber duty. They are at the funeral for Clark County Deputy Suzanne Hopper, who was killed in the line of duty on New Year's Day. Before we continue, please bow your heads and join me in a moment of silence for Deputy Hopper, and may her family find comfort in this very difficult time.
Thank you. I've had the honor and the privilege of taking the oath of office three times since 2003. Today is similar, yet somehow very different. Similar in that I recited the same words for my first and second terms as a justice. Different in that I realize the historical significance of today's moment. Never before in the 207-year history of the Ohio Supreme Court was a woman to serve as Chief Justice. And while I am humbled to be the first, I certainly hope that I will not be the first and only. I follow in the footsteps of those women that have come before on this court and elsewhere in state government. Florence Allen, who you've heard so much about today, the first woman justice not only in Ohio, but anywhere in the entire United States. She was also the first woman to ever serve on the federal bench when she was appointed by FDR to the Sixth Circuit. Joanne Davidson, the first woman speaker of the House of Representatives for the state of Ohio. And Betty Montgomery, the first woman Ohio Attorney General and Ohio Auditor. Trailblazers all, and I thank them for leading the way. Thank you, ladies. I also want to recognize another very special woman who is with us today, and that's Mary Moyer. Mary, thank you for being here. Mary, of course, is the wife of the late Chief Justice, and thank you for sharing the chief with us for 24 years. We have spent much of the last year mourning the loss of our dear friend and colleague. In many ways, 2010 can be labeled annus horribilis, and I, for one, am happy to begin 2011 as we do today, in celebration and in gratitude. This very courtroom we stand in is a reason to celebrate and is a monument to the chief's legacy. We would not be here today if it were not for his efforts in acquiring and restoring the Ohio Judicial Center. I'm inspired by the chief's spirit as I take on the immense responsibilities that he handled so well for so many years. But the great thing about this job is that I won't be doing it alone. I have six wonderful colleagues with whom to collaborate on leading Ohio's judiciary in these particularly difficult times. Each one of them brings a unique perspective to our work and our mission. 2 years ago, I described being a member of the court as both a blessing and a job that is fascinating, intellectually challenging, and full of personal satisfaction. My six colleagues on the bench are a big part of that reason why. Justice Pfeiffer, a delightful colleague who did a wonderful job of shepherding the court after the loss of Tom Moyer. And as was mentioned 2 years ago, Paul spoke at my swearing in. It was a risk on my part, and some would expect payback. Don't worry, Paul, I will not return the favor today, but soon, very soon. Justice Stratton, a very special person who has used her position as justice on the Ohio Supreme Court to summon attention and resources to help deliver legal services to troubled members of our society. Justice O'Donnell, a very energetic justice who is devoted to professionalism and helping to improve both the bench and the bar in Ohio. To Justice Lanzinger, my campaign trail BFF. We kept each other going, and now she's over here, this side. We've kept each other going throughout the campaign with a lot of laughs, mutual support, and total optimism for a positive outcome. And I think it worked out pretty well for both of us. Justice Kupp, the reflective colleague who often seems able to build consensus in a quiet and deliberative way that proves to be most effective. And our newest addition to the court, Justice McGee Brown. I am proud to call Justice McGee Brown a colleague, and she is off to a really wonderful start in the Ohio Supreme Court. And while we justices are busy hearing and deciding cases, the day-to-day administrative operations of the court are left to the professional staff that is headed by Steve Holland as administrative director. And Steve, if you'll stand. He ensures not only that the trains run on time, but they're on the right track. And we are grateful to Steve and to all the staff for their day-in and day-out dedication. Thank you. I would also like to take the opportunity to recognize the staff of the Supreme Court, commanded by Rick Dove, who worked so diligently in making this event happen today. All those who are in the room who have been part of this organizing this event, I'd ask you to stand and be recognized as well. I know probably many of them are out in the hallways still doing their duties, but thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. I appreciate your work as well. In partnership with my fellow justices, the leadership on the court, and our colleagues throughout the judiciary, I hope to articulate and execute a vision for the Ohio judicial branch that builds on and expands upon the legacy of Chief Justice Moyer, with one purpose in mind: to make the greatest system of justice even better. That is why I want to talk to you today briefly about how I intend to work with you, with the Ohio Judicial Conference, with all of our judges, and with our partners in state and local government to strengthen our courts and improve the administration of justice. I see four areas of challenges for us as we work to carry Chief Justice Moyer's legacy forward: the budget, supporting diversity and access to justice, supporting impartial courts free from political influence, and supporting collaboration and community involvement by our judiciary. Let me start with one of the biggest challenges, and that's the budget. Ohio faces, by some estimates, an $18 billion deficit. And while the judiciary and the Supreme Court budget represents a tiny fraction of the total, we still must do our part. The judiciary can begin to meet its obligation to help ease the state's financial burden by reducing the Supreme Court's discretionary biennial budget by 10%, while ensuring the continued fair and efficient administration of justice. But this is just a start. We must also look beyond the immediate crisis and examine the long-term solutions that will strengthen the financial picture of Ohio's courts. We need to pursue systemic change and further cost savings through a collaborative process involving Ohio's judges, bar associations, and all stakeholders in the legal community. To take that longer view, I will establish a bipartisan task force on the judicial budget to examine the current structure and the funding of the judicial branch. I will soon appoint the task force members that will consist of representatives of the Judicial Conference, all the judges' associations, the Ohio State Bar Association, and associations representing other major constituencies of the judicial branch. The panel will be charged with meeting throughout 2011 and issuing a report by the end of the year with specific recommendations for further cost savings and efficiencies. I hope members of the bench and the bar will join me in identifying those cost savings and efficiencies within the judiciary. Additionally, this past Monday, I met with all staff in the Supreme Court to enlist their assistance. We have people who have worked in the judicial system for decades. Their collective knowledge will be immensely valuable as we tackle the budgetary issues that face Ohio's courts. I solicited from every staff member for their ideas for saving money and improving the financial picture of the judicial system. I have already received numerous suggestions and welcome more. This is a cause that requires our immediate and our focused attention. The second area we need to focus on is in supporting diversity in the legal profession and on the bench, and supporting access to justice for all Ohioans. Chief Justice Moyer understood the importance of a diverse bench and bar, and he knew that we could do better. In the next 6 years, we will do better in this area. This starts with continuing the good work we have already begun in this area. From the Law and Leadership Program that prepares the next generation of urban students to consider a career in the law, to implementing a new education component to train judges to recognize and eliminate bias in the courtroom, to making more court forms accessible in many languages, to require that court foreign language interpreters become certified. And those are the numerous ways the Supreme Court supports greater diversity throughout the legal system. I hope to build upon those efforts to bring their efforts by hiring an attorney to specifically focus on access and fairness issues, develop a diversity curriculum for judges, and work with local courts and the affinity bar associations to further this mission. We have made progress in supporting diversity on the bench and the bar, but we clearly have more work to do. Let me just share a few discouraging statistics to make the point. Today, as we swear in the first woman Chief Justice in Ohio's history and achieve a female, I might add, we are achieving the third, for the third time, a female majority on the Ohio Supreme Court bench, less than one in four judges in Ohio are women, even though Ohio's population is 50% female. African Americans make up about 12% of our population in Ohio, but less than 7% of the judges in Ohio. On the bar, in some categories, the numbers are worse, and I will give you just one example. Of the active attorneys self-identifying race and ethnicity in the attorney registration process in Ohio, less than 1% of our bar is Hispanic. We can do better. Until we have a bench and a bar in Ohio that is truly representative of our diverse population, we have much more work to do in this area. But fiscal reforms and improved diversity and access to justice are not our only challenges. We must carry forward with efforts supporting independent courts that are free from even the perception of political influence. Much discussion has been devoted over the last several years to judicial elections and improving the way we select judges, with most of it focused on whether voters would approve an appointed judicial system. Instead of waiting for that debate to be resolved, there are ways we can improve our current system that supports fair and impartial courts and keeps partisan special interest out of Ohio's courthouses. By holding nonpartisan primaries that remove party affiliations from the names of judicial candidates on the primary ballot, Ohio is the only state in the country that elects judges in partisan judicial primaries followed by nonpartisan judicial elections. History teaches us that less partisan politics, not more, supports fair and impartial courts. Ohio should join the other states that hold nonpartisan primary elections to select the two candidates who face off in a general election in November. Party affiliation would not appear on the ballot in either election because, quite frankly, party affiliation is irrelevant to judging. Codifying a judicial appointment panel should also be investigated. Nearly half of Ohio judges first take the bench by being appointed through the gubernatorial appointment process. By establishing an objective process for screening candidates and making recommendations to the governor, these panels involve more members of the community in this important process and strengthen the public's confidence in the process, thereby strengthening the judiciary. Requiring the advice and consent of the Senate in filling Supreme Court vacancies also inspires public confidence. By adding this sensible check on the gubernatorial power, Ohio would make it less likely that these important appointments are made on an overtly political basis. Increasing qualifications and training for judges and judicial candidates is also a priority. Under this proposal, the basic qualifications for judicial office would increase, including the required years of experience for the Common Pleas Court bench, from 6 years to 10 years, from 6 to 12 years for the appeals court, and from 6 to 15 years for the Supreme Court justices. The Supreme Court would also establish a judicial candidate education program for candidates who are preparing to seek judicial office. These are sensible reforms that only enhance and only will enhance the judiciary in Ohio. My vision for the court and the judicial branch as a whole also includes another critical element, the constant communication and collaboration between all members of the judiciary. Only by embracing these concepts will we have a thriving and successful judiciary here in the state of Ohio. Local courts and judges' challenges and concerns vary across this very large and diverse state, and I'm looking forward to collaborating with them on the important work of supporting and improving the administration of justice. I intend to schedule trips across the state to meet and listen with judges and bar associations on a regular basis. I envision these informal visits, whether it's lunch with the group or simply a coffee, to get a chance to know better the bench, the bar, and court personnel in every county in Ohio. Administrative Director Holland will join me on these visits. As we make the rounds to 88 counties, I expect to hear plenty, the good, the bad, and the ugly, about local and statewide issues that impact the work that the judiciary does on a daily basis. I will encourage judges to be active members in their communities within the boundaries of judicial canons. I think that is vitally important. Ohioans benefit from a judiciary that is not apart from, but a part of the community. I will work to support collaboration and involvement. Other areas of focus on the horizon include educating the public about the role of the Supreme Court and its impact on their daily lives, reviewing and selecting for implementation the appropriate recommendations contained in the recent report on Ohio's compliance with the ABA death penalty review, and reviewing upcoming recommendations regarding judicial recusal and conflict of interest. And we need to take a fresh look on how we provide legal education in Ohio in the 21st century. I look forward to my first bench bar conference as Chief Justice in March of this year, where I hope we can begin a dialogue on how we can improve the way we train new students to become lawyers. Following through on each of these initiatives, we will surely confront as yet unforeseen obstacles that will require the collective wisdom of all stakeholders in the judicial branch. I intend to make use of that wisdom, and I hope you will take me up on that offer. As difficult as these challenges will be to face, an even greater discussion was occurring in Ohio almost 100 years ago. In the early 20th century, many Ohioans believed that the then current state constitution was outdated. In 1910, Ohio voters approved the calling of a constitutional convention, which began in January of 2012. Delegates from all over the state gathered in Columbus to consider whether to create a new constitution or simply enact amendments to the current version. Part of their discussion centered on women's suffrage and whether it was even appropriate to have women in government. Some of the exchanges on this topic are quite revealing about how far we've come in how women are viewed in government. In the notes to the convention, it is recorded that one Mr. Bowdle, who I believe was from Hamilton County, incredulously asked a fellow delegate if he believes it is the natural right for a woman to be, for example, President of the United States or Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of Ohio. He voiced a concern about their ability to reason by asking the delegate to whom he was speaking, "Would you consent to try a case before a jury or a judge that was ruled by intuition?" Mr. Reed, who was another delegate, he responds with the statement, quote, "I don't know, but that I would. Intuition sometimes is a good deal better than the reasoning of some men." Another delegate, a Mr. Fitzsimmons, who I believe was from Cuyahoga County, also comments on this foreign concept by agreeing that while it might be incongruous to have women sitting in the presidential chair or on the Supreme Court bench, it might be, quote, a welcome change to the specimen of officials that they were now compelled to view. What would they say to not only a woman Chief Justice, but to a bench, the majority of whom are women? It's amazing how times have changed, and it only took 100 years. During the campaign, the gender issue was important to some audiences and not so important to others. I spoke with students about the court and the fact that I would be the first female Chief Justice in the history of the state of Ohio. I came to realize that for those students, a gender barrier was a foreign concept, especially when talking about the law. And that attitude serves us well. I hope to be judged not on my gender, but on how well I get the job done. That shows progress and how far society has come. I close with the words of my dear friend and colleague, the late Chief Justice Moyer. Let us leave here with a renewed spirit and hope for the American ideal of justice for all. Let us recommit, let us rededicate ourselves to the expectations that justice is achieved through the virtuous acts of judges bound by the principles of impartiality and fairness. I am humbled and honored to serve as your Chief Justice. Thank you once again, and God bless you all. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Chief, heartiest congratulations from the bar. And let me be the first amongst the stakeholders to let you know we can work with you on everything you spoke about, and we'll be thrilled to do so. I'd like to thank everybody for attending the ceremony. The chief invites all of the guests to join her for a reception in the Grand Concourse following the conclusion of the ceremony. Please rise and remain standing for the retiring of the colors and for the benediction to be delivered by Bishop Campbell. Please remain standing. Bishop Campbell.
And let us pray. Good and gracious God, let the light of your wisdom direct the work of this court and manifest itself in all of their proceedings. May they seek to preserve peace, promote justice, and continue to afford us the blessings of ordered liberty. We pray for this court and especially the new Chief Justice, who are entrusted to guard our welfare. May they be enabled by your powerful protection to discharge their duties with care and wisdom. We likewise commend to your unbounded compassion all the citizens of the state of Ohio, that we may be blessed in the knowledge and observance of your law. May we be preserved in union and peace, and after enjoying the blessings of this life, be admitted to those that are eternal. We pray to you, who are Lord, forever and ever. Amen.
Marshal, will you adjourn court?
Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. This open session of the Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio now stands adjourned.